Happy Mother's Day. Oh, I wish that we could be together so that we could honor and celebrate you, Mom. But we're not able to do that right now. I just want you to know that you're loved and you're appreciated so much. And in case you missed it, we've got the possibility that you could win a free gift. And some lucky mom's going to be able to do that. And so just text MOTHERS to 31996 and you could be a lucky winner. I want to welcome everybody who's joined us, and especially if you're new to Pantano. Thanks for joining us. I would love to get to meet you. I'd love to have an opportunity just to be able to talk and to share together, maybe answer any of your questions. And so we're going to have that opportunity. Just go to Next Step. The link is on your screen. And meet the pastor, and I would love to be able to meet you tonight at 7:30. I got to do that last week. Had an incredible conversation with a couple that were new to Pantano, and would love to have that opportunity with you as well. Well, you know, we're 7 weeks into this shelter at home order. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a bit drained. And by that, I mean, the draining that I'm feeling is because I'm missing the physical connection with people that I really care about, our staff, my small group, and all of you. And I know some of you are feeling drained too because you're at home all the time, 24/7, nonstop with your family. And on top of that, some of you are juggling work and having to be the teacher and the principal, so to speak. And it just can be overwhelming. And by the way, did you know that last week was Teacher Appreciation Week? So for all you moms and dads who are now teachers, congratulations, we appreciate you. And I bet you even more so appreciate those professional teachers and can't wait for your kids to go back to school, I'm sure. Well, or maybe you just live alone. And because of that isolation, you know, your relational battery is just tanked out. You know, it's empty. And isolation has the tendency to do that for us. We all need our relational batteries filled. And so the question is, how do we do that? And that's why we've created this series called Fully Charged. What we're doing is we're looking at how can we charge those relationships that maybe have gotten to a place where they're sort of empty. Maybe that happened before COVID-19 even appeared and the stay-at-home orders were in place. Or maybe it's just this isolation has exacerbated that and added more stress to those relationships. And so that's why we're doing this series. Let me ask you a question. What makes a relationships fulfilling? What makes a relationship really fulfilling? And as I thought about this, I came up with 9 qualities that I think are really important for a relationship to be really fulfilling. Now, I'm going to share these. They're not in necessarily the right order, and certainly we could maybe add some or take some away, but I think these are pretty common things that we would all say, yeah, these would really make for really good relationships. And so here they are. They're going to be on your screen. Kindness and compassion. Understanding and acceptance. Someone who's committed and dependable. Someone who's authentic. They're real. Someone who can have a lot of fun and can bring humor to us to any situation. Someone that we trust. Someone that we respect. Someone who can be present in the moment and be attentive. And then someone who can be vulnerable and honest. And what I want you to do is I want you to, of that list of 9 things, I want you to pick the 3 that you think are the most important. Okay, maybe they're all important, but pick the 3 that are the most important that would ensure that a relationship would be fulfilling and rich and healthy. So choose 3 things that you think would make a relationship fulfilling, and then you can chat those on our chat if you're online, or you can just, if you're with someone, share them with someone. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to think this through, chat it, talk about it. Here we go. 60 seconds starts right now. Go. Now, honestly, it's hard to choose three out of those nine because they're all good. They're all needed. They're all necessary for a really fulfilling relationship. But here's what's interesting, and I think there's a twist to this. If we are expecting somebody to have those nine or most of those nine qualities to create a fulfilling relationship with us, then I think we're setting ourselves up for potential failure. And here's why I think that's true. If my focus is on having somebody else have those nine qualities and that they're present in their life and they've got all the right stuff and I'm expecting those things to be there to fill me, then what's going to happen is that I'm likely to be disappointed because nobody can live up to that all the time. Nobody can have all those qualities. Nobody can be consistent in those qualities all the time. And the fact is, I have no control over somebody else, how well they have those things in their life, how well they practice them, for example. And so if I'm expecting someone to have those nine qualities, I'm going to experience some unmet expectations and needs, and it's going to lead to frustration. So I think the question I asked was actually the wrong question. You see, the question I asked was, what makes relationships fulfilling? But what if we ask a different question, did a slight change in that question, and ask it this way, what fills another? That's the real question. What fills another? What can I provide that would help fill another person? And that change of focus is huge because that moves us from what they have to offer me to a focus on what can I offer them. And you know what? I have control over that. That I can have a say in. And when my focus is on filling or helping another person, then that's my best shot at creating a fulfilling relationship. And so here's my point. To have a fulfilling relationship, focus on filling the other. If we really value having relationships that are full and rich and deep, then our focus ought to be on how can I fill the other person. And I believe that's exactly what the Bible teaches. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We're going to put the words on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, to be honest, most of my life I've heard these verses. They've been read in church and taught in church. And almost always the context has been, we've got to be really careful about attending church services in a building. Well, the reality is right now that's not possible for us yet. We can't meet together in the building. And what's even more interesting is that those words were written to a church 2,000 years ago that didn't have a building. So this isn't about church attendance in a church building. That's not at all. I want us to look deeper at what these words really are and what their original meaning was. The first thing that the author says is he says, "Let us consider how." And what's so interesting to me is that 2,000 years ago, that word consider had such a deeper meaning than it has today. I mean, today, here's how we kind of look at the word consider. If I say, "Would you consider that?" What I'm asking you to do is think about it. You don't have to act on it. You don't have to make a commitment to do something. But I just want you to think about it. And maybe that's all that is. But this word, as it was used 2,000 years ago, has a much more stronger meaning. And the word consider means to focus on something. It means that you've got to look at that this really matters, that this is important. And it's not this casual idea that we have today with consider. It's a much deeper word. And so what it's saying here is that we need to make this issue a priority. And the priority is that we need to be encouraging others to love well and to do good things. That we need to be encouraging others to be the better people that God wants us all to be and that maybe we want for ourselves. And so what we're seeing here is really, I think, the key to experiencing really rich and fulfilling relationships. We invest in others to help them be better, to be the person that God wants them to be the people we want to be. And so it's not about what I get from a relationship. It's the opposite. It's about what I can pour into a relationship. And so to have a fulfilling relationship, focus on filling the other. What that means is that we're taking the initiative to build into others. And then the result of that is that we're going to experience a much more meaningful and satisfying and fulfilling relationship. And that is a huge focus shift. It's counterintuitive for many of us, maybe for most of us. It's a shift from wanting and waiting for others to fill us to making a decision and a commitment to fill others. And here's kind of the irony in this. When we encourage others, we are fulfilled. It comes back to us eventually. But the focus first is on how we encourage others. Now, there's a challenge, a very clear challenge in Hebrews that we read, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It said, spur one another on. Now, that word spur in the original language is a strong word also. It means to stimulate, to motivate, to exhort, to provoke even, to get someone moving. That wherever they're at, that they don't stay there, that they move forward in some way. And then in that next verse, it used a parallel word, that was the word to encourage. And so to encourage or to spur somebody on isn't just a slap on the back. You know, it's not just, hey, you can do this. It's way more active. It means that we're actively helping people get unstuck. We're walking with them so they can figure out how to live and act in a new and different way. You see, the most fulfilling relationships that we can have require a personal investment and encouragement in the other people. There was a time when I had an opportunity to mentor a guy that was in college. And later I was able to actually hire him on staff. It was an incredible pleasure to be able to pour into this young man. Well, that young man grew up, and our friendship has been maintained through all these years. And today, that young man is now the president of Hope International University. It happens to be the college that I graduated from long ago. And we still have this fulfilling relationship and friendship today. But then the writer of Hebrews reminds us that there's actually a next step in this. If we want to charge up our relationships, and what he talks about is that we need to be present with others, and so what the writer of Hebrews challenges us to do here is he says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It's about being connected. But then we ask the question, how does that work? Well, obviously, it starts with our family. We're to spur our own family members and encourage our own family members, but we don't stop there. We look beyond our immediate family. You see, if we want fulfilling relationships, we've got to invest and connect with others. And right now, that's a little bit challenging, and it's hard for us. For some of us, no matter what the situation is, it's hard for us just to reach out and connect with others. And then this whole COVID-19, the pandemic, the stay at home, all of that has made it even more challenging for many of us. But here's the deal, and Josh spoke about this last week a little bit. Even though there's this guidance out there that we're to limit our social distance, I want to suggest that those words are the wrong words. It's not about keeping social distance. It's about keeping physical distance. It's wise right now to keep some physical distance so that we don't contribute to spreading this virus. But it's wrong to practice social distance. And what I mean by that is that we need each other. And even in the midst of this pandemic, Even when we're encouraged to keep physical distance, we've got to work really hard at maintaining social connection. That is absolutely essential to us. You and I, we need to have those connections. We need to be in people's lives. We need to know what's going on in other people's lives, as well as them knowing what's going on in our lives. We need to encourage each other as well as receive encouragement back. And when we talk about encouragement, what we're always talking about in this context is getting unstuck and helping people get unstuck. But that only happens when we have a level of relationship that allows us to encourage movement in a person's life. And sometimes to encourage movement, it means having some hard conversations or asking some hard questions. Questions like, how are you really doing in the important relationships in your life? Or questions like, are you being emotionally present with the people that matter to you? Are you forgiving those that you need to forgive? And by the way, we're going to talk more about that next week as we talk about some of the relationships that are harder to deal with. See, encouragement helps others get unstuck, and that's so important. And so the question is this: who are you able to speak with at that level? We've got to be intentional about having developed the relationship enough where we can speak at that level with people. So the question is, how and where are you going to find people that you can love and you can be honest with and you can encourage them and you can spur them on? And that's why I believe it's so, so important to be a part of a small group. I've been a part of a small group here at Pantano for over 15 years. I've actually lost track of the exact years. And they've been, those people in my life have been so important. Now the people in the group have changed over the years. There's been people that have moved away and new people have joined. But for all of these years, I've had the kinds of relationships with people that I can encourage them and spur them on. Now, most of the time when I talk about small groups, I talk about how they benefit us. I talk about how my group has benefited me. But what I'm talking about today is the flip side of that coin. It's not about what the group provides for us, and they do that for sure. It's about what we can provide for the group, how we can encourage others, how we can spur others on. You see, I just love the opportunity to get to build into the lives of the people who are in my group. Because we have the relationship, I've been able to and my wife as well, have been able to encourage folks in my group to deal with issues regarding their marriage or with their kids or jobs, or maybe they've been stuck and needed to move into a new kind of career or go back to school. We've been able to have those kinds of conversations that help people get actually unstuck. And the folks in my group will tell you that they're in such a better place because not just me, but the group itself has been able to encourage them and help them and spur them on to move from wherever they were, being able to see their marriages transformed and making better life choices. Now, Hebrews 10:25, which we read, warns us, don't neglect meeting together. Don't give up connecting with other people. Because it's only until we're intentional in doing that that we're going to have those real relationships that we can pour into people and can experience really rich relationships. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of a group. And not just to be a part of a group to get from something from them, but to be a part of a group to have an opportunity to spur others on and to encourage them. And I know some of you are thinking this right now. You're thinking, yeah, but I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. I just want to be clear. Maybe this is my way to encourage you or spur you on. If you're too busy to be a part of a group, then you're too busy with too many of the wrong things. You need to prioritize. That's why the writer told us at the beginning, consider this, really think about this, really understand what a priority it is to have these kinds of relationships. Now, I understand with the physical distancing that we need to have right now, that does make it a little challenging. But we have all kinds of groups right now that are still continuing to meet. They're meeting digitally. They're meeting by using Facebook video chat or Zoom or any number of tools. There are ways that we are able to connect digitally and through with video where we can see each other and talk to each other. And sometimes it's even just using the phone. Whatever works, there's ways to be able to be connected. And you know what? This is a great opportunity for some of you who maybe are particularly shy or reluctant to do this, because now, because we're doing this digitally, online, you can join a group without actually having to physically walk into a room and meet strangers. There's a little bit of safety that's available for us right now as we do this. I think it's actually a much easier time. And then later on, when groups are able to physically meet together, then you can decide if you want to join with them physically as well. So I just want to encourage you, join a group if you're not in a group. And you can get there by this real simple process. Text PANTANO to 31996, or you'll see the link there on the screen going to our next step. And there's an opportunity there to join a group. Or maybe even you're at the place where you're ready to start a group and we'll help you start a group. Or maybe you could think of it this way. You have some casual connections in your life. By casual, I mean you know them, but you haven't gotten very, very involved in their lives or haven't gotten very deep in conversations. It could be a neighbor. It could be somebody you work with. This is an opportunity, and I'm challenging you to do this, to say, could I take that relationship to a deeper level? Simply asking the person, how are you really doing? Is there any way I can help you right now? Is there any way I could come alongside you to encourage you? Remember that list of 9 qualities that we talked about when we started? I want to read them again. Kindness and compassion, understanding and acceptance, committed and dependable, authentic, humor and fun, trust, respect, presence and being attentive, and vulnerable and being honest. Remember, we talked about those, and I ask you to pick your top 3. What I want to remind you of is this. Don't wait for somebody who has those qualities to show up and to fill your life. Rather, be the kind of person that describes those qualities. Let those qualities be growing in your life so that you have something to give to others, so that you have something you can pour into others. And it's those very qualities that will allow you to do that, to encourage others, to spur others on, to bless others. And so I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 again. I want you to hear these words again, now that we've talked about them. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day coming. Let us consider. Let us focus. Let us make this a priority in our lives. And it's important that we do it now, because now is all we have. One of the things that was said there that I didn't talk about was it said, and all the more as you see the day coming. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day when we'll meet Jesus. That day will either be when Jesus returns, or that day will be when we pass from this life to the next life. And regardless, whichever happens first, the point that is being made there is we only have right now. That's all we're guaranteed it for. And so right now, make this a priority. And what is it that we're to make a priority? What's to be important right now? It's spurring one another on and encouraging another to love and to good deeds. It's walking with someone as they find a way to forgive somebody who's hurt them. It's helping them be more present, more emotionally present and engaged with people in their lives. It's encouraging them to do the hard thing, whatever that hard thing is that they need to do. It could be making a career change. It could be going back to school. It's inviting them to join you in serving others, getting outside of themselves. You see, as we encourage others, what we're actually encouraging is a fulfilling relationship. But that happens only as we make it a priority in our lives to connect with others and be truly present with each other. And so I want to give you two action steps. You don't have to do them both. Do one or the other. Maybe you can do them both. But here's some things that I want you to do something. I don't want you to just to hear this and go, okay, that was nice, but I want you to actually do something. And the first is this. If you're not a part of a group, I want you to join a group. And you can find that online at Next Steps. Or I just want you to think about somebody who right now needs encouragement, who needs to be spurred on, who's maybe stuck. One way you can do that is just by simply asking God, God, who right now in my relationships and my connections, who needs to be encouraged? When I do that, God has never failed me. The Holy Spirit brings somebody to mind that needs encouragement. And I want to just encourage you to be open to that. Who could you encourage this week? You know, in this time of crisis and chaos and uncertainty, there are people in your life that need some encouragement right now. Who might that be? You see, to have fulfilling relationships, we've got to focus on filling somebody else. We've got to focus on filling another. And I want to encourage you to do that. So let me pray for all of us right now. Father God, we're asking you to bring to mind somebody right now who needs some encouragement, who needs to be spurred on from whatever is going on in their life right now. They may be stuck in some emotion, stuck in a decision, stuck in a relationship. God, we're asking you to guide us to someone that we could connect with and encourage. Use us, God. We want to be your hands and feet, your mouth, your face, and being that encouragement to somebody who really needs help right now. And so, God, we're opening our lives. We're being available to you for that purpose. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much.